Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm Alistair Beckett King.
And I'm James Shakeshaft.
And this episode has got references to MK Ultra.
Yeah, the CIA mind control program.
A cameo from Aleister Crowley.
The wickedest man in the world, 1904.
Yeah, until Noel Edmonds took the title from him.
Yeah.
But most excitingly, we have guest law person Andrew O'Neill bringing us the weirdest tales from Milton Keynes.
Oh, and Alistair, you name your EP.
Do I?
Yeah, it's a very good name. We'll let you know at the end what it was.
Well, listen out for that then.
Yeah.
James Shakeshaft, hello.
Hello, Alistair Beckett King. How are you?
Oh, thank you for the full name. That's a rare treat.
Do you have any middle names?
James.
What?
My middle name is James.
Really?
Yeah. My full name is Alistair James Shakeshaft Beckett King.
That's good. I like that for some reason.
Yeah, it's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to beat around the bush. I've got a deputy law person for you, James, which I'm very excited about.
Brilliant. Go on then.
Shall I just pull back the curtain and waste no more time? Because they've been in there for a while.
I want to meet them.
Okay. It is comedian, musician, and I think magician, Andrew O'Neill. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hello, Andrew.
Good afternoon.
Time traveller? I should have said time traveller.
Just want to pretend that we were on the cusp of midday there.
Get it covered.
I should also add, you're also a vegan. So if anyone is playing the Lawmen drinking game, take a shot of soy milk now, because I've mentioned veganism.
Can we mention your band name as well to get that out the way?
Yeah, my band is called The Men That Will Not Be Blamed For Nothing.
I'm presuming our audience will be getting that reference.
I think they will. But if there are any newcomers, if there are any nerds in the listenership, that I think is a reference to popular East Londoner Jack the Ripper.
That's right, yeah. The Goulston Street graffiti that almost certainly wasn't left by the Whitechapel murderer due to him having other stuff on that day.
Yeah, people forget about how good he was at admin. That's the thing about Jack the Ripper.
We started this self-consciously steampunk band at the time because there were no good steampunk bands, and I stick by the fact that there were no good steampunk bands when we started, and we quite liked the steampunk aesthetic and the kind of playfulness of it, so we wanted to do an actual punk band. And so we had loads and loads of really, we look back at now, really badly cliched steampunk names that we were considering calling ourselves. And I've done a show about Jack the Ripper, and From Hell by Alan Moore is my favourite book of all time. So yeah, so we struck upon that. We've burst out of the steampunk thing, and we do, you know, sort of. So we cover a lot of other ground now, and you know, I think steampunk. I find it absolutely amazing how a subculture that's built out of smashing together the past and the future can feel so 2007.
That was when the past and future met, 2007.
I suppose that was the point. Yeah.
That was the exact transition point. We stopped being the past and it started being the future. So we've brought you into the Lawmen fold, Andrew, to talk about the place where you live, which is, I think it's got to be one of the strangest places in the UK.
Yeah. It's
Where is it?
So I live in New Bradwell, which is the top part, the northernmost part of Milton Keynes.
Milton Keynes.
Milton Keynes.
And we moved here sort of against our will. we've been here for almost exactly a year. We moved here because my wife's sister died, and so we moved up to basically raise her niece.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's been quite a year, one way and another. And New Bradwell is next to Wolverton, which is the world's first railway town.
Is that Wolverhampton?
No.
It's a different place.
It's like that without the ham.
It's a vegan version of Wolverhampton, yeah.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
Wolverton is ancient, but there was nothing much here in the middle of the 19th century, and they decided they needed somewhere roughly between London and Birmingham to repair trains.
The world's first railway town sounds great until you realise that there's nowhere else to go.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not that exciting until somewhere else has a railway.
There's a good few years, just like the sort of phony war at the beginning of World War II. This is going to be great. It's definitely going to be great. There's going to be all sorts of train-based advantages to living here.
Just sitting on the platform, leaning forward in my seat, just I can't wait.
And then New Bradwell is a sort of extension of that. So the it's odd that we live in Milton Keynes, but we actually live in a Victorian terrace.
There are small, what I've discovered in looking into Milton Keynes, there are small old villages which have been engulfed by Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
American listeners might not realise Milton Keynes is a strange place because it was built on purpose, which is true of almost no British cities in the 1960s. And it's weird because it has long, straight streets. It's built on a grid system, which would be familiar, I guess, to some Americans. But it has roundabouts at all the intersections. So it's a weird mix of the American and the British.
Yeah.
It looks bizarre on a map. It doesn't look like how British towns look.
And it feels bizarre. There's no, like the middle of it, there's no sort of psychogeography because none of it's organic. Everywhere in Milton Keynes feels like you're on the outskirts.
Mm.
There's no town centre. It was built for cars, basically, which actually means that things like there's a really good cycle lane network. So that kind of balances it out. But it feels soulless. It really feels soulless. And then sort of not far from the station, which isn't quite in the middle, there are ancient looking thatched cottages and stuff. And it is really strange. It's a very strange place in sort of lots of different ways. And then it's also slightly self-consciously strange because it was designed and built in the mid-60s by young architects. And so the kind of counterculture of the 60s crept in. So there's loads of self-consciously bordering on occult aspects. And what I find amazing is there are then kind of conspiracy theories of like, oh, it's immediate, you know, it's built by the Illuminati. No, it was built by young 60s architects.
Like, yeah, we know the names of the people who built it.
Like, exactly, yeah.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories. MK, Milton Keynes, MK Ultra. Coincidence?
Oh.
Yes, that is a coincidence. And it's built on the Midsummer Ley Line, apparently.
Yeah. So Midsummer Boulevard, which is the street right in the middle, on Midsummer Day, the sun rises right up the middle of the street. So it's oriented towards the midsummer sunrise.
Oh.
That is creepy, isn't it? That's cool.
It's great.
That's the same in New York, isn't it?
Who do you think built New York? The Illuminati, James.
Oh, of course it was the blooming Illuminati, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They got their fingerprints all over it, if they had fingerprints.
Oh, no, they did. Well, the lizard prints.
It's more like scales.
Ah, right. So that... Wait a minute. What happens when the clocks change? Does everyone have to move?
Yeah.
The whole town revolves on a giant lazy Susan.
You have to... Everyone has to move one street.
Okay, cool.
They were definitely dabbling with psychedelics, those architects. There's no doubt about it.
They must have been.
And we have our own stone circle as well, which is... And I have done magic in that stone circle, and it works as a stone circle because that's what they are.
Now, I referred to you as a magician, and I didn't mean that in the
Paul Daniels sense,
in the uncool sense that I was into magic when I was younger. You're practicing. What is the PC term? Warlock?
I use the term ritual magician.
Ritual magician.
Yeah, I practice ritual magic. It's all Alan Moore's fault. I mean, everything in my life is pretty much Alan Moore's fault. I dabbled in it and then was almost annoyed that it worked because I had a really sort of materialist kind of Dawkinsy atheist worldview. And then the irrational approach started working and... it was a massive shift in my thinking. And I've kept up. I've done it for about 15 years or so, and it always works. It usually works in ways you don't expect. It often works in ways that are annoying. And, you know, you do get what you ask for. You don't necessarily get what you want.
So is it sort of like the sort of the classic trickster genie thing of you get it, but not quite as you expected? Is that holds true?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be really, really careful and really, really specific. Because if you ask for loads of money... You know, there are lots of ways you can get money that there's compensation for horrific misfortune. It continues to disappoint me that there's no evidence that there is a secret society that has all the magical knowledge. Because I used to assume that, for example, the royal family, they would probably know all this stuff and practice it, but they don't. You know, and things like the orientation of cities that were self-consciously built don't seem to actually have real magical knowledge behind it.
Mm.
It's less about a body of knowledge and more about just having a go and it, you know, an attitude to belief. I consider myself a global agnostic, so I fundamentally distrust all of my own beliefs. but then on top of that, you have to trust that gravity, friction, and things like that work. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to walk to the shop. You know.
You know, Andrew, they say they don't believe in friction. It's been a nightmare, slipping all over the place,
and thus become sort of ice skater based.
Maybe the Royals do know about it though, because if you say that you get what you want, but not necessarily in the way that you wanted it. Maybe, like, for example, Prince Andrew had, I know it's not wishing, but it in essence wished for, you know, I never want to have to pay for a Pizza Express in Woking ever again. Now, the guy eats for free.
This whole not sweating, the lack of perspiration, there's something.
Yeah.
I mean, Aleister Crowley believed that he could render himself invisible. There's an amazing story about him and walking into the middle of a cafe in full robes. It's got a huge staff and he's in full ceremonial gear. So do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Love is the law. Love under will. And a diner said to the waiter, who's that? He said, oh, don't worry, sir. It's just Mr. Crowley being invisible.
That's not so much of a magic power as that is just Englishness in effect.
Yeah, no one seemed to have noticed me.
Yeah, we've all lived in London and we've all had encounters with wizards of that sort.
Absolutely, yeah.
The easiest thing to do is to get on with reading Private Eye or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, totally.
During the building of Milton Keynes, or rather just before, when the spot was chosen, and I had always assumed the name came from, like, Milton Friedman and John Maynard Keynes, I think is how it's pronounced. I'd always assumed the name had been created, but it's not. It just comes from Middleton de Keynes, a small village of Milton Keynes Village, which is still there.
I used to think the same thing. And then before we moved here, I bought this wonderful book, Mysterious Milton Keynes.
Ah, yes.
By James Willis, which is the most self-published thing I've ever read.
In my notes, I've got a little bit of Willis's research. Next to the word unlikely is the only thing it says next to it.
He digs into all that kind of MK, MK Ultra, all that sort of stuff.
He has a whole chapter in that which just is headed The Rothschilds. Ooh, yeah. And that is where I start to recoil slightly.
Well, the thing is, there is all based here, so if it is supposed to be this kind of centre of power, you know, it really, Babe Station is the headquarters of Babe Station is in Milton Keynes. So I don't know, maybe there is something in it.
I mean, there's mind control. The babes don't seem to be making their own choices. Mm-hmm. You know, they're receiving messages and they're acting not of their own volition. That's pretty MK Ultra.
In the chapter marked Cryptozoology and Alien Invaders, there's a heading Strange Jelly. And I just want you to listen for the absolute absence of citation. For hundreds of years, a strange jelly-like substance, which is said to evaporate or disappear shortly after it has fallen, has been reported throughout the UK and other parts of the world, historically known as the rot of the stars or star jelly, due to the belief that it had fallen from meteor showers. This mysterious goo is particularly prevalent in and around Newport Pagnell. Citation needed. Theories abound as to the true origin of this gelatinous slime. Some have postulated, who are some? That birds have eaten frogs and toads and then regurgitated the toxin-filled oviducts. Others suggest that the substance is a type of mould, animal vomit, afterbirth, or even an alien or paranormal agent. Tests on the matter have proved inconclusive, and whilst the jelly is generally accepted to be of organic origin, the only indisputable fact is that nobody knows for sure where it comes from.
And it's delicious.
Something about the way that's written is it's got the tone of a very angry neighbourhood watch round robin that goes round saying, well, a jelly was found. The only thing we know about it is that nobody is admitting to where it came from.
Some people think it's number 33 eating frogs.
It's one thing that they leave their bins out. It's another thing that when they put them in, there's a mysterious star jelly underneath them.
What is... Have any of you seen this muck?
No.
I haven't.
I've never seen any mystery
I've
jelly.
Never heard tell of this muck before, which apparently is all over the UK. But then it's like modern pop music for me.
Mm. Have you listened to the top 10 in the last couple of years?
I admit I have not. Are the Arctic Monkeys still a new band?
Yes, they are. Yeah, brand new.
Good.
It's a very,
good.
Very, very unsettling experience, particularly if you're really into music. All of the music in the top... So my partner and I listened to it a couple of weeks ago. We listened to the top three songs and they all made us think of being in an Uber.
Do you think it's some subliminal advertising?
I think it could be.
For Uber.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe.
They're using the same technology as Babe Station. Now you're the babe.
This is why we moved here in the first place.
You mentioned Newport Pagnell there. According to Julie Wilson's book, Haunted Places in Newport Pagnell, Newport Pagnell in Buckinghamshire is believed to be the most haunted town in Britain.
What?
Now, what that doesn't say is that it's believed to be the most haunted town in Britain by Julie Wilson, the author of Haunted Places in Newport Pagnell.
Oh, but that's inferred. It's like when you're at school and you write an essay, they say, don't put I think at the start.
It could be argued that Newport Pagnell is the... And she does argue that it beats Pluckley and Kent's 12 to 16 ghosts with an alleged 24 ghosts. However, those include 3 grey ladies that she counts separately and 2 grey soldiers, which I think is... I think she's fudging the numbers.
Hey, let's not be gracist. Not all grey spirits are the same.
I'm feeling a Trump-style need for a recount and Rudy Giuliani to get involved in these numbers.
I saw the Dems driving up with vans full of grey ladies.
Illegal ghosts.
Yeah, if we just count the legal ghosts, I don't think we've got a problem. Yeah. I don't want to imply, though, that Milton Keynes hasn't got any valid law. I don't want to imply it's all just horrible jellies and miscounted ghosts.
Wait a minute, is Newport Pagnell in Milton Keynes?
It's Newport Pagnell is sort of the... It's odd because it's just the other side of the M1.
Ah.
So if you imagine the circle that is Milton Keynes and then the M1 goes up the side of it and the Newport Pagnell is a little bubble on the other side of it.
So most of the ghosts I've found belong to these little sort of satellites of the... Of the great orb.
Yeah, yeah. The places with actual history, yeah.
So in Milton Keynes Village, there was, apparently, an old elm tree that was cursed. When Milton Keynes was about to be built, the Daily Mail reported on an old superstition that if that tree were cut down, no more babies would be born in that village. Or, depending on who you ask, no more male babies would be born in that village. And the tree eventually succumbed to, like most elm trees in the UK, to Dutch elm disease, which is a disease where the trees appear at a quirky, crooked angle. That's a very good filmmaking joke. you shouldn't need to add that.
Oh, but, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But apparently the tree was eventually hit by a car and did die. And James Willis has done his research and he argues that no, because essentially the hospital in which children are usually born isn't in Milton Keynes Village, which is a very small part of Milton Keynes now. Technically, since then, no baby boys have been born in that village, so the curse has come true.
That illustrates that thing of careful what you wish for, because it's sort of, if you're right, I'm going to curse you. No more children shall be born. Oh, they moved the hospital. All right.
Yeah. Now it's just no home births in Milton Keynes Village. It's not quite the curse.
It's not children of men, is it?
If we're sticking with the dodgy claims for a second, Bradwell Windmill is allegedly home to the ghost of a miller's daughter who died a tragic death on the upper floor in 1685, which sounds great until I remind you that Bradwell Windmill was built in 1803.
Oh, no.
So where she was murdered, how she was murdered on the upper floor of a building that didn't exist for a couple of hundred years is particularly spooky.
That windmill is a 5-minute walk from my house.
Is it?
So that's right where I am, yeah.
Am I right in thinking then if you're on the north end, you would be not that far from the village of Olney?
Yes. So Olney is where my mother-in-law lives.
Oh, and Olney is where it's all kicking off, supernatural-wise.
A lot of jelly.
It's better than jelly.
What?
James, the devil lived there.
Oh!
He didn't visit. It's not an appearance of the devil.
No, no, no.
You know the way Nick Cave lives in Brighton and everyone just leaves him alone? That's how the devil lived for a distinct period of time, according to Oliver Ratcliffe's 1907 book, in Olney. And there are several stories of what he got up to while he lived there.
Is it handy for the train line, I guess?
Very convenient. You know that he was a big fan of the trains. He couldn't wait for them to get started. On the subject of fun names, one of the stories of the devil in Olney connects two locations, one called Whirly Pit and the other called Sway Gog.
Those are great.
Those are pretty great names.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather go to the Whirly Pit.
The devil decided to go for both. He was riding with his coach on 4 headless horses and headless horsemen.
Wow.
You don't normally get both.
How do you keep the reins on a headless horse?
Oh. I assume it goes under the, I want to call them arms.
Under the armpit.
Front legs. Four legs. Oh, 4 legs is confusing.
Yeah. There's the 4 legs and then there's the other 2 legs. That's an insect.
They're all right when you're accelerating, but when you brake, you have to pop the reins back on afterwards.
Well, that's why he didn't brake and he drove right into Whirly Pit, the devil, charged around underground as far as Goosey Bridge, and then burst out of the ground in the middle of a meadow. and that meadow is still said to sway.
Sway.
As if shuddering at the recollection of that fearful night.
Wowee.
Yeah. I mean, it really undermines that story, the silly names. Like, it's like, the devil crashed his cart here and rode around underground really angry. And where did he come out? Goosey Hole.
Goosey Bridge, yeah.
Yeah, near Whirly Pit.
Yes, yes, it was called the Whirly Pit.
I said that everybody just left the devil alone, but actually that's not true. One nosy neighbour kept leaning her head out of her window to look at him in his house, just going about his business, just making his morning coffee and stuff.
You would, though, you would.
Well, she learned her lesson. He caused great horns to grow on her head so that she could no longer pull her head back in. You know, like when a kid puts their head through the bars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the problem is the ears. The ears have been designed like medieval arrows. They go in easily and they do not come out.
Ah.
And so she was stuck there.
Maybe this is the explanation for all the headlessness.
Yes.
If the devil is causing people's heads to get stuck in stuff, but he still needs to get places.
And the trains haven't been built yet.
The trains haven't been built yet, yeah.
And I suppose if they are headless horsemen, no wonder they got lost in the Whirly Pit.
Navigating would be a nightmare.
No sat-nav, no signal. The coolest thing that's very local here is an abandoned church called St. Peter's Church, which again is about maybe a 10-minute walk from here. You follow the canal along towards Newport Pagnell, and then you go down into this wonderful open field, and it's sort of downhill to a small abandoned church. It was abandoned in 1953, but like the roof caved in. But there was a town down there called Stanton Low, and it's mysteriously depopulated. And the very unsubstantiated story, but a really nice one, that it was a werewolf scare.
Oh.
And
you say that as if that is a recognised category of scare.
It turns out, so I do a monthly film show with my partner called the Full Moon Online Drive-In. So we do it on every full moon, and we just did An American Werewolf in London. And it turns out that throughout Europe, alongside the witch scares, there were werewolf scares, and it was quite gendered.
Oh.
And there was one just down the road from here. So in 1485, there was a werewolf panic. Loads of livestock were slaughtered, and it was blamed on werewolves. And then in 1520, Thomas Pipe was captured by a militia and accused of shapeshifting. He was taken into St. Peter's Church, and they performed a sort of exorcism stroke interrogation of him. He writhed and snarled, cursing that Stanton Low would never again thrive as a homestead and the church building would crumble to dust. Then he emitted a wolf-like howl and died.
Wow.
And then only 500 years later, the church did crumble to dust.
That sounds pretty conclusive.
Yeah.
I have one last exorcism for you as well from my research, which is, why isn't the devil in Olney to this day?
Gentrification.
Can we be 1970s comedians for a while? My mother-in-law lives there.
My mother-in-law, yeah. So she was down the Two Brewers,
which is the pub that the devil used to drink in Olney.
Did he?
Yep, he used to drink in that pub. Yeah, he had a local, James.
Never bought around.
He's a bloke. He's a geezer.
He's a blooming bloke.
One of the lads, a classic top class lad / legend, there with his Ben Sherman shirt. They didn't like him drinking there. He used to play pranks. He used to make the innkeepers dance against their will, that sort of thing. And so 13 priests exorcised him, not one at a time,
13
simultaneously.
Priests.
The classic number of priests. They got 13 priests, and the priests came in, they performed an exorcism, and they said, we banish you for 100 years from the Two Brewers pub. And the devil, because he's the devil, went like, nope. That's too long. You're not going to bar me for 100 years. And so they negotiated, and one of the priests said, okay, well, what about you're barred until this candle, you know, because they had the bell, the book and the candle,
BBC.
All the classic paraphernalia. How about this? You'll be banished until this candle has burned out. And the devil agreed to that. And so the priest very quickly blew the candle out.
Yes.
And threw it down a well.
Nice.
I like that priest.
That's really nice.
Very clever priest.
It's not often I say that.
This is before that system whereby if you get barred from one pub, all the other pubs then get wired a picture of you and you get barred from the
lot. Oh, yes.
They've just got a picture from under the bar along with people who try and steal from the optics.
Devil watch.
Yeah. I think it's time to move into the scoring section of the Lawmen podcast. Would you agree?
I'm ready for it. Yeah.
The first category, and I feel fairly confident about this, is supernatural. What do you mean, James?
I just want to check over stuff. So we've got the
devil in
Olney.
We've got
the,
yes.
the devil's home address.
Yeah, exactly. Not an appearance by the devil, like most stories. We've got the devil's residence.
At the very least, for business purposes, that's where he lives.
True. Yes. He's on the electoral register there.
Yeah. We've got the neighbour of the beast.
We do indeed, yes. Yeah, disappointingly, he didn't live at number 666.
In Milton Keynes itself, you've got no male children being born in Milton de Keynes Village.
In Milton Keynes Village, yep. No male children being born there.
A supernatural amount of babes.
Yeah. Yes, a whole station. A whole station manned by babes.
Well, that could be linked to the fact that no male children were born. There was a surfeit of babes. So they had to find employment.
Yeah, good on them for being entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
You've got Bradwell Windmill with its impossible upstairs ghost. Explain that with logic.
I'd someone dying on a ladder.
I was imagining maybe perhaps a bird of prey.
Yes.
Elevated them.
At the exact moment of death, yeah.
Altitude, yeah.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Or dropped them and they died of shock just before they hit the ground. You're not going to know an autopsy. Certainly not with the technology they would have had in those days.
No, the only way you would know that would
be via ghost.
Well, check where the ghost appears.
There's that ghostly muck. Yep. Everywhere, and it gets everywhere.
Mystery jelly.
The only thing everybody can agree on is that this is probably something that James Willett made up.
And you've got Newport Pagnell, which is allegedly the most haunted town in Britain.
Yeah.
And the werewolf scare of Stanton Low.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I forgot one more.
Whoa.
There's just one more fact that I forgot to include, which I really like, which is that elm trees are really spooky. You know, there's the cursed elm tree.
Mm.
The elm tree, this is a little factlet. Here's what they say about the elm, that elm hateth man and waiteth because of its tendency to unexpectedly drop boughs and kill people on a very still days.
Oh, wow. Widowmakers.
That's pretty creepy, right?
That is, yeah. Yes.
And Nightmare on Elm Street, of course.
Yeah, exactly. It's not Nightmare on Pine Avenue. There you go.
What was it that this elm... Someone hit it with a car.
Yes.
Why? What was it doing?
If the elm tree ever died or was removed, then there would be no more babies born in Milton Keynes Village. And that has happened.
Who said that, though? The tree?
They said that.
They said.
Oh.
It was said.
Right.
It was reported in the Daily Mail, so it's got to be true.
Oh, then.
In the mid-60s.
Right.
Yeah.
That lot.
So I think the journalists of Fleet Street check their sources, James. They don't just write any old nonsense.
They don't take it from any old tree. Yeah, that's very spooky. I think it's got to be 5, really.
Yes, thank you.
It's fully supernatural.
5 out of 5. Good. Are you happy with that, Andrew?
Yeah, I am, and it makes me feel happier living here.
Yeah, you might not be aware, but not everyone does this well on the first round, so
no.
Well done.
Good.
Second category is naming.
Mm.
What were the quality of the names in this story? And I would remind you of not just Goosey Bridge, but Whirly Pit and Swagog.
Swagog.
Yeah.
Is that Sway?
Sway. Gog.
How are you spelling sway?
Like the word sway.
Like sway. Okay. Yeah.
Reminds me of Gog and Magog.
Yeah, is it Gog?
Yeah, as in Gog and Magog, yes. That is the meadow.
Well, isn't there something odd about the street name conventions in Milton Keynes as well? Or
I spotted a couple of serial killers as I was looking.
All on Google Street View?
Yeah, they're all things like Shipman Street and...
Really? Fred West Avenue? Is he?
Yeah.
Jack the Ripper Close. Yeah, always.
So aside from the serial killer road names, which may have been made up...
There's also a blind pond. I didn't tell you about blind pond.
A blind pond?
James Willits says that in the 19th century it was revered as Britain's very own Bermuda Triangle, regularly swallowing coaches. You would think if that were true that there would be some record in a book written not by James Willits of any of that being true.
Regularly swallowing coaches?
I was once waiting at Milton Keynes coach station and my coach didn't arrive, so maybe that's...
Well... Or where else could it have been than the bottom of Blind Pond? The big problem with that claim is that there's no way people in the 19th century revered anything as Britain's Bermuda Triangle, because the concept of the Bermuda Triangle wasn't current.
Yeah.
That's...
Nonetheless, Blind Pond, good name for a pond.
Blind Pond is good, yeah.
Yeah, great name for a pond. It's high, but like Milton Keynes is like one of those names that's synonymous.
Absolutely.
That has a reaction, doesn't it, when you hear it?
It's sort of the Croydon of Buckinghamshire.
I can only hear it. There was an advert, wasn't there, in like the 80s or 90s?
In Milton Keynes!
Yeah, was it like a psychic or something?
Yeah. And he was outing a couple as having an affair.
Yes. And it was, so whenever I hear Milton Keynes, I hear it in that voice
of
Milton Keynes.
Yeah,
I think it was time for a sharp exit, wasn't it?
Yes, sharp up. I think you're right.
I'm going to have to push you for a score there, James. Come on, these names are good.
They're good names.
Dutch Elm, English Elm, Witch Elm.
stop naming elms.
You can't make me. This isn't Babe Station.
Three. I'm going to go three.
Three. Ah.
I love Twirly. What's it called? The Twirly Hole.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm not going to check. Yes, the Twirly Hole. Next category. That town ain't right.
That town ain't right. Yeah, something's wrong. Something's gone wrong.
Every aspect of Milton Keynes, when you look at it, it's like a fractal.
Yeah.
New strangeness emerges, but it never solidifies into anything coherent or with any citations. Straight roads and roundabouts. What's going on? An abandoned town.
I think the lack of citations makes all of these mysteries much more mysterious. And do you know the spooky thing is that there's literally no evidence it ever happened.
That is right up my street. Yes.
Yeah, you have stumbled upon the essence of this podcast there, Andrew. That is, we've been on this territory before.
They filmed some of a Superman there.
Yeah.
As well.
Did they?
In Milton Keynes. Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
So like an abandoned planet or something?
No, it was I think it was the offices of the Daily Planet.
Oh.
In Milton Keynes.
It's like when Murdoch moved away from Fleet Street to save money. The Daily Planet have moved out to Milton Keynes.
Yes.
Because the rents are lower.
Yeah. Well, it's easy for Superman to commute.
That is true. Faster than a train that hasn't been built yet, certainly.
Yeah. Right.
Right is what that town ain't, James.
Yeah.
Not saying it's wrong, but it ain't right.
There's some... The fact that people keep talking about it, and I don't think anyone trusts Milton Keynes, do they?
Absolutely not.
No.
Is it because it was a created town, or is that our innate sort of British distrust of newfangled things?
And of ambition, in a way. You know, the sort of the optimistic 1960s post-war planners. Their idea that things could be better. We're sceptical of that.
You don't come in and say you're a city. You know, you start off as an isolated dwelling and then you attract some other houses.
Yeah, Milton Keynes is very much like an arrogant, open spot comedian with a lot of opinions.
I think it's going to be a five.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Andrew, awesome. Because you live there, but that town ain't right.
We are moving, don't worry. Which means I could do the podcast again, doesn't it? Because when I move...
You could pretty much just make something up about Milton Keynes if you want to come on again. That's what James did.
That's the great thing about Milton Keynes, yeah. Any new lore you want, you can just fabricate. Yeah. Final category. So they say...
So they say.
I've capitalised they. This is referencing the fact that almost none of this is sourced or cited because the writers that have chosen to write about Milton Keynes don't recognise those conventions. But also, it's the they of the Illuminati.
It's the them.
The them, yeah.
The mysterious
Who are
them.
They?
Yes.
The designers of Milton Keynes.
What were they trying to do, though? What was their plan?
Oh, you're actually asking. Right, sorry.
Yeah, oh no, that wasn't rhetorical. That was...
I thought you were just speculating.
I said it in a sort of rhetorical voice. It's why I don't find out a lot of things that I want to find out, because I do it like that. How much is a first-class stamp? It's about 70p.
I suppose there's theories about what they were trying to do, create a mystical powerhouse.
Mystical powerhouse.
Is one of the theories.
But they ended up with a Babe Station.
Somewhere for people to live that wasn't London.
Yep. I mean, that's a possibility.
Reasonably successful, you could argue.
Not only is it not London, it's not anywhere near as good or nice as London.
So that's two things it's got going for it there.
Mm-hmm.
I live near Croydon, which has both of those qualities.
Well, I grew up near Croydon, and this very much feels like a retrograde step.
I go to Banbury a lot.
Ah.
Is that Banbury of the cock horse fame?
Yes, ride a cock horse. Real type of horse.
Type of horse. I'm not going
to
bleep it.
Yeah, we're quoting poetry, I think. Yeah, ride a cock horse to Banbury. Cross.
It's one of those subliminal instructions. You'll all be doing it now, like the babes at Babe Station. You'll be in Banbury. You don't even... In your pyjamas.
What were they thinking? Was it that the architects were inspired by occult teachings... Or is it just an accident?
I think it was more that they thought it was quite a cool idea. Because if you look at, what is the advantage of having a road called Midsummer Boulevard whereby the midsummer sunrise rises along that street? What's the purpose of that?
Accidents one day a year.
It doesn't unlock anything. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't achieve anything other than that's weak. You know, how should we orient the road? Well, do we do it like that?
Well, I suppose that's the thing. If you're building a road, you've got to put it in some direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And
it's not like the first train track that doesn't have to go anywhere, but that's what they'd want us to think. Isn't it? That's very much what they'd want us to think. So I think they are up to something.
Yep.
If there's lots of rumours about you being a lizard person, would you brag about not being able to sweat?
Yeah, it's a real sort of third act of a sitcom move where he escalates a situation he has caused by trying to fix it and actually making things an awful
it's
lot worse.
It's a full-on Basil Fawlty move, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It belongs in farce. It's one of those bits where you start watching between your fingers in a sitcom and you're like, how? No. I can only assume he lives in one of those rooms with loads of different connecting doors and people are constantly coming in and leaving and probably there's a dead body in the cupboard. Not an actual allegation, just to be clear.
Yeah, that's a reference to Joe Orton's loot, not a libelous statement. Yeah, I'm going to have to say a five because otherwise they're going to be after me.
Yep, that's the last thing you want.
That's five for they. We don't know anything. Please don't hurt us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm confident they are listening, so thank you for that. Mm. And thank you, Andrew, for being a deputy law person.
You're very welcome.
You do so many things, and you're doing lots of online stuff. What would you like to plug some of it to our listeners?
My Patreon, patreon.com/AndrewNeil. I'm making videos and shows and music and that sort of thing, and I'm on all the social media, and I do online shows every week, and I'm trying to mix it up so the people aren't seeing the same stuff every time, and I've bought backdrop banners and everything, so it looks nice now. Ooh. Once a month we do FMOD, which is the Full Moon Online Drive-In, which is our cult film show, and then we watch a film.
What's the next one?
Next Full Moon is Flash Gordon.
Nice.
On the 30th of November. And the Troy Club we do monthly as well.
Well, thank you so much. Please check out
thank you.
Andrew's opus, which means work, which means body of work, just to be clear.
Oh, not their special for pearls.
Yeah.
Cheers, lads.
So what was my EP, James?
I think you'll have spotted it. It was, of course, Straight Roads and Roundabouts, brackets, What's Going On? That's a good album. That's a good EP.
If you'd like to support my burgeoning folk career, get onto the old Patreon, patreon.com/lawmenpod.
Yeah, there's all sorts of goodies for our supporters. There's field reports, there's extra episodes. We've got some extra questions with Andrew, which is a very, very fascinating little interview.
Get yourself some goodies.
Oh, yes, definitely. They exist.
You have been listening to Straight Roads and Roundabouts.
Brackets, What's Going On?
With me, Alistair Baker King, featuring...
me, James Shakeshaft.
There you go.
I just got caught short there because I was thinking if I'm going to try and design a cover for that album.
Featuring Little Jimmy Shakes.
On Vibes.
On the triangle. The most powerful shape.
On the piccalilli.
Is that?
That's a sauce.
That's food, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a spread. It's a very English spread. I just brought some piccalilli along to the studio in case anyone fancied a sandwich.